to the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John. We'll continue with a study that we began this morning. And we were talking about the idea of some lessons that we find from John the Baptist. And we were discussing some issues about what people throughout the ages have thought about John the Baptist and how that's affected a lot of people today. But then we started making some comments of things that John the Baptist was doing and how that might be a lesson for us. And in John, the first chapter, so we look down at, there was a conversation when a group of people came to him. We read in John, the first chapter, verse 19. Now, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" Verse 23, and he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." We were talking just a little while. We had to discuss some other issues about why sometimes he would claim to be Elijah and other times he would not, and what Jesus had to say about it. And so I hope that was profitable for you this morning, but I didn't get to go through all of the points I wanted to make. And so I first of all just talked about who that we're not who we think we are. So many times there are people who think things of us that are not true, and we think things of people that are not true. There are sometimes things that are true about us that we don't recognize about ourselves, and we talked about that a little while, us being the righteousness of God, or our prayers availing much, or we being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Those are tremendous ideas. And if we spent maybe more time thinking about, I'm a part of that group, it would help us and edify us, I think, in that most holy faith. But let me continue on this evening. Another lesson. We started here in John, the first chapter. We read beginning in verse 19. Well, verse 23 is the one I wanted to start with this evening. And the second one was that we all build roads. And that's what John is saying here in verse 23. When they ask him, "Well, who are you? Give us your own words. What are you saying?" And he says, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" What was John doing? Well, you know, we recognize, as we said, first of all, back in Matthew, the third chapter, that probably the most famous statement of John, Matthew 3, and we say verse 2, John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He came to announce the coming kingdom. And then, not only that, over in Mark, the first chapter in verse 4, we read, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So he came preaching a baptism of repentance, not just the idea there's a coming kingdom. And then over in John, the first chapter, as we just read in verse 1, that he is bearing witness to the light. So I want to look at that first one that we were talking about when we just read there in John, the first chapter, that he simply made the statement, "I am the one crying in the wilderness, a voice crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" All of us are walking a path. All of us are walking a road. All of us are going in a direction. Every one of us. And we may be in harmony that we can walk along hand in hand in fellowship. That would be wonderful. But a lot of times that's not the case. And our road takes different routes sometimes. Sometimes we go in completely contrary positions of where we think we should be and what we think we should be doing. But as you read, for example, in John, the first chapter, we read there in 1 John, the 7th, 1 John, the first chapter there, as I've read many times for you in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We are walking a certain road. And it's that which we are hoping someone would follow, and that we're following the right road in the scriptural path. But John here was doing something different. In John, the first chapter, when you read down there at verse 23, he said, "I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." He was not actually fighting a war. He was not actually in an army. He was not actually attempting to dig holes and level ground. He was trying to create a spiritual awakening. That's the voice he was saying. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. This voice you could hear in the wilderness, and it's saying out loud, he is saying, make straight the way of the Lord. He's calling for a spiritual awakening. He's calling the nation of Israel back to the Lord. And Israel just had all kinds of trouble in their whole history. I guess they continue today. But there's this call for them to come to the point of reformation. And when we talk about we are all building roads, that's exactly what we're doing, because we're walking a path, and we're trying to walk the path of the Lord, and we're trying to make sure there's no obstructions in the path. We're trying to walk in a way that would remove any obstruction. We're trying to add to our life and think of our life in a certain way. Like Peter said over in 2 Peter 1, add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. But as we're doing that, as we're walking a certain road, we have an effect and an influence on other people. That's exactly what John was talking about here. Not in the sense that we're digging potholes and digging up rocks. We're living a life, and we're having an effect on other people. Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans, the sixth chapter, a familiar passage, but he's talking about here the kind of life we're living. Romans 6 and verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that all began for us, not for John the Baptist. John was trying to call all of the nation of Israel to prepare for the coming Messiah, to have them reform their attitudes to be able to receive him. Our walk is that we have accepted the Lord, and we believe in him, and we've been buried with him and been raised to walk in newness of life. In other words, we're trying to be an example. We're trying to follow the life of the Lord and be a person that others could look to. Over in Philippians, the third chapter. In Philippians, the third chapter, Paul writes to the Philippians there. And he says, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. We're all building a path. We're all building a road. And we are following the great teachers that we have had in years gone by. But there are others who are following us. As a result, we're to be careful of what we do. We're to believe the gospel, make the gospel a part of our life. Look with me over in 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We're to be people who hear the truth of God and then turn right around and sound it out. 1 Thessalonians 1, we read verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. That kind of point, that idea, we're building a road because we're walking a road. And we might say, I'm doing the best I can. Well, that's about all we could ask. But take the gospel of Christ that he's talking about. You became followers of us. And he said, you are examples of people in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded forth the word of the Lord. Well, that's what John the Baptist is doing. He said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. Make the paths of the Lord straight. And his object was a little different than ours, but the point was the same. And this is what Paul is saying to the Thessalonian brethren. He said, you're doing this. You're able to get these things across. And he said, people are following your example. Over in Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to speak the truth in love. So we build our life. We build our way of following the Lord, hearing the truth, hoping we understand the gospel because there are people coming behind us. Younger people, maybe. Maybe people have never heard the truth. Over in Matthew, the seventh chapter, that famous statement of Jesus where he says, enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in therein. He's talking about walking a path there. And enter that narrow gate. Be that person who chooses that. A person who struggles against the difficulties of life. There's a poem I've read some time ago. Let me share it with you. And I like it. It's called The Bridge Builder. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. It's a very famous poem. But I like the thought and the point that's being made. The Bridge Builder by a man named Drumgold. He says, an old man going a lone highway came at evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a terrible tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The rolling stream was no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and began to build a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with an ending day. You never again will have to pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the evening tide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said. There follows after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm has been nothing to me, to that fair-haired youth. May a pitfall be. He too must cross this twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building the bridge for him. And that's the idea. We're building a road. John the Baptist came, and what his dedicated purpose was to call the people back to the law, call the people back to understanding the will of God so they could recognize the Messiah when he came. And ours is much the same. We're to take the gospel of Christ and go into the world and preach and teach to people. But we live the life of the gospel. There are people who follow us. And that's important. You must understand that. Let me suggest to you another one. I didn't get to all of them this morning. And again, I couldn't put it all in there somehow, so I just had to make it short. The more we know Jesus, the more we learn Jesus, the more we find out about his will for us, the more we disappear, the more our lives are lost in him. Look with me in John, the third chapter this time. John, the third chapter, and we'll see the same thing. He's talking about Jesus again. I don't know if we can read all of it. John, the third chapter, verse 22, John 3, verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John had not been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I have said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Verse 29, he who has the bride and is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Look at verse 30. He said, he must increase, but I must what? I must decrease. Learning about Christ, our lives change. And we start living for him. And we understand that however we would say it, maybe you wouldn't say disappear, but our life and our purpose and our plan and our aim are going to begin to diminish when we understand what the Lord would have us to be and do. Look with me over in Galatians, the second chapter. Paul said this, Galatians, the second chapter and verse 20. You've read this one before. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Read this, Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what I'm talking about. John the Baptist said essentially the same thing. He used different words. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. And maybe we use different words, but you know the point that we're trying to get across. Christ becomes our fulfillment. We began to be described in terms of Christ. Look with me to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, a tremendous verse, actually, in the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, down at verse, verse 13. Paul writes this, and it's, the whole context is helpful, but just the one verse, Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's talking about us growing to be like Christ. And we have to recognize, as John the Baptist did, we recognize our total dependence upon him. He's the creator of the universe. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And when we talk about the glories of heaven and the blessings of the Lord, it comes to be this, that we are decreasing and he is increasing in our life. In Romans, the fifth chapter, we read down it at verse 6, Paul wrote this, and when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone will even dare to die. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Died for us. Our life is becoming his life. And that's good, because one day we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's the best way to understand our relationship to the Lord right now. He is Lord. And to have him say, well done, good and faithful servant, is the tremendous thing. Our priority in life is knowing Jesus and becoming more like him. And that's what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 33. He says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and what? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I mean, our lives really are becoming more like him, and that's the design. That's what he wants. That's what he is telling us to do. when he tells us, seek first, put this first, put the kingdom of heaven first, put his righteousness first in our life, and we become like him. We think like him. We look at life like him. That's what John the Baptist did. Just wonderful thoughts. But let me suggest to you one last one. Behold the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold. And we've heard that all our life. Behold, what he's saying, look at, think about, reflect upon. And in John 1:29, he says, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's just an astounding statement. The coming of Christ was the statement that there was only one possible way that sins of mankind would be taken away. In Isaiah 53, the whole chapter there is about God sending his son because he was the only one capable, the only one that was able to be wounded for our transgressions and make it a positive statement in our life, to be bruised for our iniquities. Crushed is probably a word we would better use. And he made intercession for us and for transgressors. Just thinking about that. I mean, how many times have you heard that statement, behold the Lamb of God? And the statement that would have been shocking to the Jewish people is something that you and I must understand that is a part of our life. Jesus was the only source of salvation. He was the only way that you and I would be able to stand before the Father. He was the only way to the Father. That's what Peter said in Acts, the fourth chapter, in verse 12. He said, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. No other name. There is no other salvation in anyone else. Behold the Lamb of God. Look with me over in 1 Peter. You read the first chapter, 1 Peter 1. Read down at verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. John the Baptist came to change or attempt to change the lives of the nation of Israel. He really was on the national stage, and he was calling upon them. They needed to change, and that came as a result of them being aware of how separated they are from the very will of the Father. And he came to change the expectation of the Jewish people. Excuse me again for my voice. Because their idea of the Messiah to come was completely wrong. But Jesus came, he came to give himself, and he accomplished these things. And the lessons from John are teaching us some things that I hope we would be able to see. He's coming again. Look with me over in Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and we'll just end our study there this evening. Hebrews, the ninth chapter, and we read down right toward the end. Excuse me again. Hebrews, the ninth chapter, verse 27. And as it is appointed for men once to die, or to die once, but after this the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Today is the day that if we're here and we've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, it's the day that we can begin to walk in the light, walk in the very light of the truth of the Lamb of God. And this is what John the Baptist was pointing them toward. And those are the lessons that he wanted them to see. And I don't think they did. They didn't begin to. I don't think they've seen it to this very day. If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the body of Christ. Appreciate the opportunity of studying with you. Hope it hadn't been, my voice hadn't been a distraction for you. But when we think about John the Baptist, you think of a great, great person. And yet there were such conflicts in that great person. Jesus said, of all those born of women in history, none are greater than John. But on the other hand, John would say, I'm not worthy to undo the straps of his sandals. There was these cross purposes that we have to look at and think about and reflect on in our own life. But Jesus has come. He did die for our sins. He's extended back into heaven. And he has sent his apostles into all the world. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the invitation this very evening, 2,000 years later, that we offer to people, and we offer it to them to understand the development of the gospel, understand that story, understand the gospel, and respond to what you know is the truth. That's what Jesus wanted. He said, preach the gospel, he that believeth, and is baptized. He that responds to what he understands and what he believes are acceptable to the Lord. If you're here this evening, you're subject to the call, would you please come as we stand and sing?